Good evening, everyone. And welcome. Thank you for coming tonight to this Maundy-Thursday service. A meaningful service, a significant time of worship. It is a solemn service, to be sure, but not without the anticipation of joy coming on Easter Sunday. So tonight we're going to be using scripture and song, and our focus tonight is on the Jewish festival of Passover, which of course remembers how God powerfully rescued his people from the slavery of Egypt. And then of course we'll remember how Jesus is the fulfillment of all of that Passover symbolism and what happened as he became the Passover lamb to take away the sins of the world. So that's our focus tonight, and we just invite you to reflect and think and worship tonight as we remember the death and sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you to stand as we begin with our call to worship this evening. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Lord of life, your Son, our Lord Jesus, is the light of the world. As we remember how your people gathered on this night to celebrate the Passover feast of deliverance, kindle our hearts with the fires of your Spirit. Amen.
Man of sorrows, Lamb of God, by his own betrayal, the sin of man and wrath of God has been on Jesus' name. Silent as he stood accused, beaten by was beaten full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Hope the sun sets free. Oh, it's free indeed. Now my debt is paid. It is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me.
Please be seated.
For our Jewish ancestors, Passover was the time to remember that mysterious, wonderful night when God freed the Hebrew people from bondage in the land of Egypt. Passover's central figure is the lamb, whose blood was painted on the door frames of Hebrew homes, causing the angel of death to pass over the homes of the faithful.
A reading from the Old Testament, from Exodus 12, verse 51. And on that day the Lord brought the Israelites out of Egypt by their divisions.
For Christians, the celebration of Passover became a celebration of Jesus' death, strange as that may sound. We celebrate with somber joy that Jesus was put to death instead of a lamb, shedding his blood to protect us from eternal death. This evening, we focus on Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
From the New Testament, we read Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15. Since the children had flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death.
Shall we wing his watch and pray?
That were killed on that first Passover night in Egypt had to be perfect if their blood was to cause the angel of death to pass over the Israelites. So each time Passover was celebrated, the lambs that were killed needed to be without blemish.
Exodus 12, 1 through 5. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats."
In the same way, Jesus needed to be perfect for his blood to save us from death. If he wasn't perfect, his death would pay only for his own sins. But Jesus, our Passover lamb, was without blemish. He was sinless. So his death becomes the payment of our sins.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 20. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake.
Righteousness, he humbled himself.
expected. The lamb had to be perfect. Even his bones needed to be whole. Jesus, too, even through the crucifixion, remains a perfect, unblemished lamb qualified to save his people.
From Exodus 12:43-46. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "These are the regulations of the Passover meal. No foreigner may eat it. Any slave you have bought may eat it after you have circumcised him. But a temporary resident or a hired worker may not eat it. It must be eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of its bones."
John 19:31-37. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldier therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth, and he testifies so that you also may believe. These things happen so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, they will look on the one they have pierced.
Beyond all measure.
Save God's people, blood needed to be shed. There needed to be a sacrifice. Because the wages of sin is death, someone needed to die. Back in Egypt, for the first Passover, it was a lamb who died to save God's people. This lamb pointed to the true lamb, the Lamb of God, whose blood was shed to save God's people.
Exodus 12, verses 7 through 13 and 21 through 27. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the doorframe and will pass over that doorway. And he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, 'What does this ceremony mean to you?' then tell them, 'It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians.' Then the people bowed down and worshiped."
Shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from today, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it grows to the lowest valley. Blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose, it will never lose, it will never lose its
Christ came as a high priest of the good things that are now already here. He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not made with human hands, that is to say, is not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleansed our consciences from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of the new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. In the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it, because a will is in force only when somebody has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. This is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood. When Moses had proclaimed every command of the law to all the people, he took the blood of calves together with water, scarlet wool, and branches of hyssop, and sprinkled the scroll and all the people. He said, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you to keep." In the same way, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and everything used in its ceremonies. In fact, the law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place, every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him.
Yeah.
and Eve rebelled against God, humanity was trapped in bondage to sin. There was nothing we could do to save ourselves. The only way out of the slavery was death, because death was the consequence of our sin. Blood needed to be shed if we were going to become free. But God didn't want His people to die, so He provided a lamb who would die in our place. Just as the Israelites were rescued through the blood of a lamb on the night the angel of death passed over their homes, the blood of Jesus was shed in place of ours to make us free from sin and death.
Leviticus 17, verse 11, and Exodus 12, 12 and 13. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt.
Romans 5, verses 6 through 10. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person some might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life?
Did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for sin that I had done? He groaned upon a tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. My God, shed your blood so pure and undefiled to make a sinful one like me your chosen precious child. The sun in darkness hide, and shine His glories in. When Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin, thus might I hide my blushing face while His dear cross appears.
So it was on that Thursday night. Jesus gathered in that upper room with his disciples. And the very first thing he did was he washed their feet. Took off his clothes. Can you picture him? Can you see him? Wearing just his tunic of an undergarment. And he bends down, puts his hands in the water, and washes those disciples' feet, modeling for them what he would do the next day, submitting himself to the ultimate servanthood, giving his life to cleanse us from our sins. And then after he washed their feet, returned to the table, and they celebrated the meal. But of course, it wasn't just any meal, was it? It was the Passover meal. It was a meal that commemorated and remembered when the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and God powerfully, through signs and wonders, rescued his people and delivered them, saved them, set them free, and protected them. We heard about some of the details of that meal tonight. It was an elaborate meal. It involved bitter herbs. There was the unleavened bread. There was the fruit and nuts mixture to represent the mortar of the bricks in Egypt. But of course, the most significant symbol of all in the Passover meal was the lamb. It was the Passover lamb. And of course, the blood that was painted on those doorways in Egypt to satisfy the wrath and judgment of God. You know, it's interesting that name Passover. It comes from the Hebrew word Pasach. Passover, Pasach. It's interesting, though, that Hebrew word Pasach is a verb, but it is not a verb of movement. It is not a verb of movement. You know, I used to think that the name of the celebration and the festival and the meal came from the fact that when God saw the blood on the door, he passed over. He skipped it and passed on. I don't think so. That's not the accurate picture. Pasach is not a verb of movement. It's often used in parallel with words like deliver, rescue, save. So I think the more accurate picture of Pasach and then Passover is that as that angel of death, God, was going through the land of Egypt, when he came to the door with the blood, he passed over that door. He stationed himself above the door. You see, there's no skipping of the judgment. The wages of sin is death. You don't just pass over judgment. Somebody has to take it. So don't you see that on that night in Egypt, God was both the source of wrath and deliverance? He was the angel of death moving through to execute judgment. But when he came to that door, it was God himself who stationed himself over the door and took the blow. Doesn't that make a parallel with Christ on the cross? As he said to all of us, stand behind me. I'll stand in the way. I'll take the blow. And Jesus takes the unmitigated wrath and judgment of God, and so also delivers us from the bondage of our sin. I think that's a better picture. So the Passover meal and festival was celebrated year after year after year after year. A lot of lambs and a lot of blood. By the time you get to Jesus' day, they had developed a very elaborate ceremony at the temple in Jerusalem. On that day, at 9 o'clock in the morning and then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there were special sacrifices and scripture readings, and the people gathered in the temple area. A big part of their celebration was the shofar, the ram's horn. It reminded them of their desert beginnings out of Egypt and into the desert. It reminded them of God's promise and covenant to save them and someday to send a Messiah. The shofar called the people to attention to come to the temple to celebrate the meal or the festival. One long blast on the shofar called to attention. It was followed by several weeping calls, if you will, calling the people to repentance. And so on that day, the shofar sounded. And as the shofar sounded, the priest would slit the throat of the lamb and the blood would run. And the people would say, God, don't forget your promises. Remember your covenant. Save us. And so on that day, as the shofar is sounding and the people are shouting and celebrating, a man is being led out of the city of Jerusalem, bloody and beaten from the Roman whips. Mark tells us that Jesus went onto the cross at 9 a.m., just as the shofar sounded. And then Mark tells us that Jesus was on the cross for 6 hours until 3 p.m. And again, the shofar sounded. And as the shofar sounded at 3 p.m., at that precise moment, Jesus cried out, "It is finished!" All of the sacrifices, all of the offerings, all of the bloodshed, the entire sacrificial system, it's all finished. Sin's grip on our lives is finished. The devil is finished. The bondage of sin has been broken. The grave has no hold on us. Aren't you glad it's finished? And so we remember the power of God to deliver His people from Egypt. But tonight, we remember the greatest rescue of all. While we don't eat the Passover meal, now the meal that we eat in remembrance of Jesus' death and resurrection. And while we don't eat the meat of the sacrificial lamb, we spiritually eat the body and blood of Christ, the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Would you stand? as the shofar calls us now to our Passover celebration tonight. Thank you. sit down. So Jesus gathered in that upper room for that significant meal. And He would use the symbols of that meal to teach His disciples and to teach us what He was about to do the next day. It was all planned. It was all planned from the foundation of the world. It was planned for us. And so on that night, Jesus took the bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it. And He said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And then He took the cup, and He poured it out. And He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so we come to the table tonight. We're going to ask you actually to get up and come forward to receive the elements. Form two lines down the center aisle. Elders will be stationed on either side. Receive the bread and the cup, and then return to your seat on the outside. Okay?
We pray.
We're asking that you depart in silence and reflection. So on that Thursday night, after Jesus washed his disciples' feet and they shared the meal together, he sent them out with these words. And so these are his words that send us out tonight. Jesus said, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, now you must love one another. By this, the whole world will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Go in peace. Amen.